Well, amen. Aren't you glad this morning that your salvation does not depend on you holding fast? Because if it were up to us, we would all lose it. Our salvation does not depend on us. It depends on Jesus and His work of salvation, and it's complete. All He calls us to do is trust Him. He's got us. He will hold us fast. Turn with me to Exodus chapter 35. Exodus chapter 35. We're going to be looking at verses 4 through 29 this morning. Verses 4 to 29. Follow along with me, if you will, as we read God's Word together and we hear what He has to say to us. Always remembering, brothers and sisters, always remembering, I'm always reminding, washing you in this truth. God's Word, even though it was spoken in the past and recorded in the past, it's ever speaking. God is the great I Am. He's not the I Was. And so if He is, His Word continues to speak constantly to us. So it is for us now in the present. So let us hear God speak to us right here and now, beginning in verse 4. Moses spoke to all the congregation of the sons of Israel, saying, "This is the thing which the Lord has commanded, saying, take from among you a contribution to the Lord. Whoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it as the Lord's contribution. Gold, silver, and bronze, and blue, purple, scarlet material, fine linen, goat's hair, ram skins, dyed red, porpoise skins, acacia wood, and oil for lighting, and spices for anointing oil, and for the fragrant incense, and onyx stones and setting stones for the ephod and for the breastplate. And let every skillful man among you come and make all that the Lord has commanded. The tabernacle, its tent and its covering, its hooks and its boards, its bars, its pillars and its sockets, the ark and its poles, the mercy seat, the curtain of the screen, the table and its poles and all its utensils, and the bread of the presence, the lampstand for the light and its utensils and its lamps and the oil for the light, the altar of incense and its poles and the anointing oil and the fragrant incense and the screen for the doorway at the entrance of the tabernacle. The altar of burnt offering with its bronze grating, its poles and all its utensils, the basin and its stand, the hangings of the court and its pillars and its sockets, and the screen for the gate of the court, the pegs of the tabernacle and the pegs of the court and their cords, the woven garments for ministering in the holy place, the holy garments for Aaron the priest, and the garments of his sons to minister as priests. Then all the congregation of the sons of Israel departed from Moses' presence. And everyone whose heart stirred him and everyone whose spirit moved him came and brought the Lord's contribution for the work of the tent of meeting and for all its service and for the holy garments. Then all whose hearts moved them, both men and women, came and brought brooches and earrings and signet rings and bracelets, all articles of gold. So did every man who presented an offering of gold to the Lord. And every man who had in his possession blue and purple and scarlet material and fine linen and goat's hair and ram skin dyed red and porpoise skins brought them. And everyone who could make a contribution of silver and bronze brought the Lord's contribution. And every man who had in his possession acacia wood for any work of the service brought it. And all the skilled women spun with their hands and brought what they had spun in blue and purple and scarlet material and in fine linen. And all the women whose hearts stirred with a skill spun the goat's hair. And the rulers brought the onyx stones and the stones for setting for the ephod and for the breastpiece and the spice and the oil for the light and for the anointing oil and for the fragrant incense. The Israelites, all the men and women whose heart moved them to bring material for all the work which the Lord had commanded through Moses to be done, brought a freewill offering to the Lord." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before You to hear You speak to us. Father, we ask for Your grace for this to even come about. Lord, we can see with our physical eyes this text, We can hear with our physical ears the words being spoken. But Father, we need your grace to be able to see and hear with our spiritual eyes and our spiritual hearts. Lord, we ask you to make us receptive of your words. And we ask you to make us receptive to the point that they bear fruit in us. And not just immediately to ease consciences, but for the rest of our lives, on into eternity. Lord, your word is eternal. It is to have eternal fruit. Lord, may you, by your grace, do what only you can do. Cause us to hear and believe and bear fruit for your kingdom's purposes. Father, you tell us that this is what good soil looks like. Your word comes and bears fruit. Father, I pray that you do the impossible. Make us into good soil. Only you can do these things. Father, I pray for your grace to come to those who have never, ever heard you before with spiritual ears and never, ever seen you with spiritual eyes. Lord, just like you did with us, grace had to come. Had to make us alive. So we ask you to pour out your grace, Lord. We are so ever dependent upon you and your grace and your mercy. So we ask you to pour it out. We ask this in Jesus' name this morning. Amen. Well, we've been in the last few weeks looking at chapters 32 to 34, which detail for us the Israelites' great sin of the golden calf and all the fallout that occurred from that. Now, before that happened, if you remember, Moses was on Mount Sinai for 40 days and 40 nights for the first time. And he was listening to God, and God was instructing him what? With the instructions for how to build this tabernacle. This thing, this place, this tent which God would come and dwell with his people so that God and his people could be in communion together. The greatest gift, by the way, that God can give to anyone. But because of the sin of the golden calf, these plans for the tabernacle were interrupted. They were stopped. The sin had to be dealt with. So that's why we've seen for the last three chapters, Moses had to go and deal with the sin. He had to have the Israelites put it away. He had to go pray for forgiveness from the Lord and beg for his mercy upon them for their sin. And then God had to act in answer to that prayer and bring not only forgiveness, but a renewal of the covenant. And that was what took up our time for those three chapters. But now, as we move and transition to chapter 35, what we see, right, is the project of the building of the tabernacle resume. After a brief reminder in verses 1 to 3, right, of the fact that the Israelites needed to obey the Sabbath rest, even in light of this great work of the building of the tabernacle, God now resumes the work of the building of this most important structure, and he resumes it by having his servant Moses give a call to the people to come and bring materials and all the things that would be needed to build this tabernacle. And it would take many things and many skills, right, to build this tabernacle. As we see, the list is quite long and diverse. So God, in order to have this built, gives a call for his people to give to his work. Now, I think at this time it's important to just reiterate or emphasize and remind ourselves of the truth that even though God calls his people to give to his work, that God needs nothing. God did not need all these things that the Israelites brought, right? God owns everything. God possesses everything. And so he does not need this offering that he calls for. God's not needy in any way. He could have, couldn't he, brothers and sisters, dropped the tabernacle completely set up out of the sky. Could have spoken into existence. He needs nothing. It's the same is true with us. So in the same way, what I'm trying to get at here is God gives often, always, a call for His people to give to His work. Right? This call is a familiar call that He gives to us today. He's always calling for His people to give to His kingdom work. But it's never out of need. It's always out of the good, out of good for the giver, right? And for His glory. And so that's the principle that I want you to see here as we just ground ourselves in that. Is when we're called to give, I never want us to see it as, well, God needs our giving. No, He does not. He calls us to give for our own good. This is how good God is, all right? So, with that in mind, as we think about this truth that God's always giving a call to His people to give to His work, His kingdom work, I think we can learn a lot from the call given here and the response by the Israelites. So we have the call and we have the response. So all I want to do is look at three basic principles for giving. The three simple basic principles for giving that apply to us as well. And the first principle is this. We are called to give according to what we've been given. We are called to give according to what we've been given. You look at verses 5 through 9, you see Moses' call again for them to bring all these different materials in for the making of the tabernacle. Again, it's a great diverse list. Why? Because the tabernacle would require many things to be built. And it would require many things even to have the service of the tabernacle after that point. And so Moses gives a call to the people of this long list of things and says, give these things as a contribution. And then we look at verses 20 to 29 and we see the people's response to that call, right? And the idea is that the people departed, verse 20, from Moses' presence. And what did they do? Well, they went and started gathering the items on the list and brought them back and gave them, laid them at the feet, presumably of Moses or the people in charge of building the tabernacle at some place that had been pointed out as to give it. Now, I want to just point out one thing. This is kind of a side note, but I don't want to leave it. This is not stated directly, but it seems to be intimated or implied in the text. In that, the Israelites' response to the call to give was immediate. Do you see that? Now, they gave over a long period of time, days, perhaps weeks, as we'll see next week in the passage. But they began to be obedient to this call. Almost immediately they went and they started gathering these items up. And let this just be a reminder to us that whenever God calls us to something, whenever He convinces us of something, that we should have immediate obedience. Whenever we take time out to try to consider it more, it typically only serves to cool our zeal for the Lord. And when the Lord calls us to something, right, there's not going to be a better season than the present season. So let us be immediate in our response as the Israelites were. So they were immediate in their response, and they go back and they started gathering these items that were called for. But I want you to see the picture here is that it's not that every person gathered every item on the list, was it? Not everybody had all these things. But they all had some of these things. And so they went and got what they had. If they had gold and precious jewelry, then they definitely brought that, as it says. If they had silver and they had bronze, verse 24, those that could give that, gave that. For the others, that was scarlet material, precious purple material that was valuable, or ram skins or goat hairs or porpoise skins. Others brought acacia wood, right? A wood from a tree that was common to the area. And then singled out in verse 27 and 28 for us, the rulers themselves brought the onyx stones, the precious jewels for the ephod, for the breast piece, and the oil and the incense, right? They brought the spices for the incense. Presumably it would be these rulers would have more access to these things given the precious nature of these items. But the idea here that I want you to see is everybody gave according to what they had. Right? If you had a lot, you brought a lot. If you only had a little, you brought a little. But the point was not in the amount of the gift compared to everybody else, right? Well, the acacia wood, when they brought that, the people that brought that, God looked on that no different than those who brought the most precious of gifts. Why? Because they brought what they had. God has an eye to the giver, not to the gift. Again, He doesn't need anything. So He's not comparing like, well, you got to be able to give this much to give. No, God calls for you to give. That's what He cares about. If we doubt that, let us recall the story of the widow, right? Who gave what? Two mites. Remember that story? Jesus has set Himself down. This is an interesting story in my mind. Where was He? He was at the temple and He set Himself opposite the treasury. Why? He was actually watching people put their money into the treasury. Which tells us, brothers and sisters, apart from the point, God does watch what you give. He cares. He's watching, right? But is He interested in the big gifts? He's interested in the gift according to what you have. Why? Because He told, who gave more than anybody? The widow gave more than anybody because He said she gave all that she had. And that's the point. What had she been given? She hadn't been given much, but whatever she had, she gave it to the Lord. And that's the point. So the idea is, brothers and sisters, if you've been given a lot, give a lot, right? But if you've been given less, you're no less required to give. You're all called to give according to how you've been given. Matthew Henry says, if we cannot do as much as others for God, we must not therefore sit still and do nothing. If the meaner offerings, which are according to our ability, gain us not such a reputation among men, yet they shall not fail of acceptance with God, who requires according to what a man hath, and not according to what a man hath not. We are to give according to what we've been given. So if you've been given gold and silver, better be given gold and silver, right? If you've been given something else, then give out of that. God calls us to give according to how we've been given. And you do have to see it as that which has been given, right? Sometimes we want to view it, well, this is ours. I'm doing pretty good just to give anything. Nothing you have is yours. It's been given to you as a steward to keep for the Lord. Where did the Israelites get what they gave? Plundered the Egyptians on the way out, didn't they? How were they able to plunder the Egyptians on the way out? God put it on their hearts to give it to them. He even told the Israelites, go ask them for it. They're going to give it to you, right? Because I put it on their hearts to give it to you. It was clear to the Israelites where all these things come from. Who had gold and silver? Well, they got it from God. Who had the other things? Well, they got it from God. So you've got to see that everything has come from Him. You've been given these things. So the idea is you look and what have I been given and what's the purpose of it, right? And the purpose is to be a steward of God and to do with it what He wants you to do. And a big part of what He wants you to do is to give it, right? Otherwise, what are you going to do with it? Going to make golden calves out of it. This is what we do. This is the choice. We can give it to the idols of our hearts, or we can give it to the one who gave it to us, right? As an offering unto Him. We're to give according to how we've been given. Second one, like unto it, we are to give according to how we've been gifted. We are to give according to how we've been gifted. Obviously, we see here that this would take a lot more than just items and things and money and possessions to build this tabernacle. It would require a lot of skills. In verses 10 to 19, Moses in verse 10 specifically says, let every skillful man among you come and make all that the Lord has commanded. So he called for time and skill, not just possessions. And it would take many different skills to build this. Just look at the items in this list that they call for. It's going to take some construction workers, right? It's going to take some cabinet workers and some woodworkers. It's going to take some metal workers. It's going to take people who know how to spin and make fabric, among many other skills. It would require many. What was their response? Well, we look in verses 20 to 29. We see another good response by the Israelites. This is a very highlighted time for the Israelites and how obedient they were. And they came and they brought their skills in order to make this tabernacle, this work of God. Now, as we'll see in next week's passage, many different people came. The men came, and you know, you have Aholiab and Bezalel and Uri are highlighted. These are the guys that have so many different skills and they're overseeing it. And you'll see that next week that they come and they give of their skills as they're called to. But in this passage, highlighted for us, right, in verses 25 and 26 are these women who spun with their hands. And it specifically just highlights them that they spun as they were moved to and they gave all this material that they had skillfully woven for the building of the tabernacle. Now, why is this highlighted for us in this text? Well, I think it wants to show us that these women and their skill were just as essential as anything else to the building of this tabernacle. Without it, everything else could have been done perfectly, and it still would have been incomplete. It was needed. And so what's the point in our own context? Well, one, right, women and their gifts are just as needed to the church as the men, right? They may be different, but they're just as necessary and they're just as beautiful, right? And they're no less different in the eyes of God. And two, as Matthew Henry calls it, even the meanest of the gifts are just as important and necessary as those that are typically honored in the eyes of men, right? In God's eyes, there's no gift that's any more valuable than the other. And men tend to look at them, and they would look on spinning as much less valuable than these guys who had all this skill in construction and doing this metalwork and stuff. But it doesn't matter. They're all essential. That's the point. And so the point for us, right, is all our gifts, no matter what they are important to God's work, to the building of His kingdom. And so the idea is whatever gifts we've been given, we are to be giving them to the Lord for His work. We don't give just money and possessions. We give of ourselves according to our giftings. Listen to 1 Peter 4:10. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards. There's that steward thing again, of God's varied grace. As we are gifted, we are to use it to serve one another as good stewards. God's given it to you, how you use it. And I want you to look at how we are to use it to serve one another. I want you to see the similarity between this and what the Israelites are doing. It's no different. What are the Israelites building? The place where God would dwell. A very important work. Where does God dwell now? I want to say in a believer, right? And He does. And the Scripture talks about the temple, which is the stationary tabernacle. Same thing. The believer. You're the temple of the Holy Spirit. But did you know the Scriptures also describe the church as the temple, which is nothing more than the compilation, the building together of the individual believers, right? So what are you doing when you're using your giftings towards serving one another? Did you know you're building the current temple and tabernacle of the Lord? You're doing the same thing. And so we're all called, just like here. If you've got a gift, come and use it. Right? So the question is, what's my gift? Right? That's the question we have. What is your gift? And I want you to understand, if you are a spirit indwelt believer, if you're saved, God's given you a gift, most likely gifts, plural. Now, He gives differently, varied measure of His grace, varied purposes for these gifts. But if you're a believer, you've been given gifts, and they're for the use of serving one another and building His church on this earth. So the question is, what are your gifts? No matter what they are, they're all valuable. Whether teaching or leading or serving or acts of mercy or exhortation or whatever they are. If you've been given these gifts, God calls you to give them for the building up of the church. They are not yours. They're not even for you. They're for him, and they're for the rest of the body. So we're called to give these according to how you've been gifted. That's the second. We are to give according to what we've been given, according to how we've been gifted. And lastly, we are to give, right, according to how our heart guides. We are to give according to how our heart guides. And this is what I mean. If there is one truth I think the Holy Spirit wants to highlight in this passage, is that whatever the people brought, they wanted to do it. Their heart was willing, wasn't it? We see it first in verse 5. God calls for the contribution. To whoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it to the Lord's contribution. God wants them to know right away, this is not some imposed tax. This is not some big demand that you just got to do, right? No, God says, I want you to bring if you're willing to bring it. And then as we look at their response, well, how did the people respond? They responded with a willing heart, very clearly, four times in this passage, verses 20, 20, 21, 22, 26, I believe, and 29. We are told that they gave because the Spirit or their heart moved, stirred within them. They wanted to give these gifts. They wanted to bring it to the Lord. It was not some duty. Well, this is what the Lord wants, so if I want to stay in His good graces, I better bring it. That was not the heart. The heart was, I want to give this. I want to bring this. God calls for willing givers, doesn't He? He wants a cheerful giver, as my brother talked about. He doesn't want a tight-fisted, begrudging giver. He wants a willing giver, and God's people are to give willingly. To come out of a willing heart. Matter of fact, I believe this is one of the identifying marks of a Christian. Only a Christian can give this way. If you never ever want to give, it may be a sign that you don't know the Lord. Why? It takes a new heart. I'll give you a quote from the man who wrote, Robert Murray McShane, that wrote our reading guide. This is him. This is what kind of preacher he was. I had no idea. He preached this to his congregation when he perceived a lack of generosity in them. And this is what he said. I am concerned for the poor, but more for you. I know not what Christ will say to you in that great day. I fear there are many hearing me who may know well that they are not Christians because they do not love to give. To give largely and liberally, not grudging at all, requires a new heart. An old heart would rather part with its lifeblood than its money. Oh, my friends, enjoy your money. Make the most of it. Give none away. Enjoy it quickly, for I can tell you, you will be beggars throughout eternity. He's right. It takes a new heart to be able to give the way God calls us to give. But if you've been given that new heart, you will be moved to give as the Lord calls us to. So you have to ask, do I have a heart to give? Now, I'm not implying that if we're saved, we are going to love to give 24 hours a day, every day of the week, every day of the year. Just loving to give all the time, right? No, the old man we know rears his head way too often. This is a sanctifying work. And it must be cultivated in the life of faith. And in order to be cultivated, we have to see things rightly, as my brother called us to. Look to the things above, right? And we have to have a heart on the things above before that happens. Just a couple of things in closing here that we have to see in order to have this heart of giving cultivated in us. And one of them I've already covered is that we have to see everything we've been given is given from the Lord. That will free up our hands from it and remind us it's not mine, it's yours, Lord. You've called me to give, let me willingly give it back to you. That's one. But two, I think this is a very, very important, not an exhaustive list, but two very important truths. And that's that we must see our giving as an act of worship to God. And God must be the object every time we give. This is what was called for here. Moses spoke in verse 5, take from among you a contribution to who? To the Lord. This was not for the project. This was not to get the work done. Oh, this was to the Lord. Every time you give, brothers and sisters, God is to be the object. Whether you're given to the church, whether you're given to a ministry, whether you're given to a person in need, you must see past them and you must see the Lord as the one you're giving it to. And why do you give it to Him? Because He's worthy and He is the object of your worship. We know it's true. What do we give our money to? We give it to that which we love. We give it to that which we worship. To that which our heart goes after. Money is no object, never is. So the key is, do we see the Lord as the object of our worship? Do we see Him as the one we truly love? If we do, we'll give to Him. So we have to ask yourself this morning, how's your worship? How's your giving? Is the Lord worthy? Is not the one who gave everything, including His one and only Son, for us who did not deserve it, worthy of all that we have and more? Indeed He is. Let us be worshipers of God, and let us give to Him with willing hearts. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, this is the call of Your people and to give. Lord, help us to be ever reminded that You never call for us to give because You need anything. You need nothing. Giving is for our good and for Your glory. It helps others see how valuable You are to Your people. And it frees us up to what's most important, and that's You. And frees us from the curse of the love of things and the love of this world. Lord, You tell us in Your word, and it's even been spoken already this morning, it is better to give than to receive. Father, I pray You give us real faith in that word. May You make us givers with a willing heart, not of just our possessions, but of our gifts as well. You are worthy. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.